Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. I wanted to talk to you about the coronavirus because it's not exactly what you thought it was going to be. It was a tool used. So if you haven't looked at my other two videos, make sure you look at my other two videos because you're going to get the full picture of what is actually going on. Ladies and gentlemen, we are on a brink of a completely different country. Okay, communism is right there. We just had a government put on, we didn't have a legal government put on into power. We had an installment of power from the elections with foreign interference. And you could see that in Mike Lindell's documentary because it's really powerful, but I'm not going to go into that right now. But this was a tool that was used on you and me as a biological weapon, and I'm going to share that with you and show you how this tool was used as a way to try and restart the economy, as like a reset of the economy. They wanted to take away our rights with putting the mask on your face. I'm going to show you an article that talks about how dangerous that is because the symbolism of that. And if you look at some of my other videos, it talks about tyrants want you to be unknown to one another. They'll shut down schools. It's in another video. Also, the symbolism of your mouth being covered is you no longer have free speech. And we see that with the big tech companies. Okay, so check out this video. It's a documentary. I'm going to share my screen. Let me make sure I can optimize sound for y'all. Where was that? Where did it go? Hold on 1 second. Let me just want to make sure you guys can hear this. So
I'm the developer of linguistic genomics, which was the first platform on which you could determine the intent of communication rather than the literal artifact of communication. But we've also used that technology for a number of other applications in defense and intelligence and finance. And most notably, in the early 2000s, my company was responsible for bringing down what was at the time one of the largest tax frauds in U.S. history. We maintained a series of inquiries into every individual, every organization, and every company that is involved in anything that either blurs the line of biological and chemical weapons or crosses that line in any of 168 countries. In 1999, there were 1 million patents digitized by IBM. And those 1 million patents were the first time human innovation had been put into an electronic digital searchable format. We took that information and we did a very simple exercise using our linguistic genomics technology, where I made the horrific assessment that approximately 1/3 of all patents filed in the United States were functional forgeries, meaning that while they had linguistic variations, they actually covered the same subject matter. In 1999, patents on coronavirus started showing up. And thus began the rabbit trail.
March 2003, panic grips Hong Kong as a deadly new virus sweeps through the city.
In 2003, the Center for Disease Control saw the possibility of a gold strike. And that was the coronavirus outbreak that happened in Asia. They saw that a virus they knew could be easily manipulated was something that was very valuable, and in 2003 they sought to patent it. And they made sure that they controlled the proprietary rights to the disease, to the virus, and to its detection, and all of the measurement of it. We know that Anthony Fauci, that Ralph Baric, that the Center for Disease Control, and the laundry list of people who wanted to take credit for inventing coronavirus were at the hub of this story. From 2003 to 2018, they controlled 100% of the cash flow that built the empire around the industrial complex of coronavirus.
The World Health Organization has officially named the new novel coronavirus.
The novel coronavirus outbreak.
The coronavirus crisis.
The World Health Organization has declared
an international public health emergency.
Well, we know that the coronavirus manipulation started with Dr. Ralph Baric in 1999.
The major characteristics of SARS, MERS, and SARS coronavirus 2, it's a good way for you.
Ralph Baric is the researcher at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, who's famous for his chimeric coronavirus research. In 2002, there was a recognition that the coronavirus was seen as an exploitable mechanism for both good and ill. On April the 25th, 2003, the U.S. Center for Disease Control filed a patent on the coronavirus transmitted to humans. Under 35 U.S. Code Section 101, nature is prohibited from being patented. Either SARS coronavirus was manufactured, therefore making a patent on it legal, or it was natural, therefore making a patent on it illegal. If it was manufactured, it was a violation of biological and chemical weapons, treaties, and laws. If it was natural, filing a patent on it was illegal. In either outcome, both are illegal. In the spring of 2007, the CDC filed a petition with the Patent Office to keep their application confidential and private. They actually filed patents on not only the virus, but they also filed patents on its detection and a kit to measure it. Because of that CDC patent, they had the ability to control who was authorized and who was not authorized to make independent inquiries into coronavirus. You cannot look at the virus, you cannot measure it, you cannot develop a test kit for it. And by ultimately receiving the patents that constrained anyone from using it, they had the means, they had the motive, and most of all, they had the monetary gain from turning coronavirus from a pathogen to profit.
Developing and owning a coronavirus vaccine has become a biotech arms race with political overtones.
This vaccine gold rush is starting to bother me. Gold rush. Let's keep that in mind.
And so somewhere between 2012 and 2013, something happened. The federal funding for research that was feeding into places like Harvard, Emory, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, that funding suddenly became impaired by something that happened at the NIH, where the NIH got this little tiny moment of clarity and said, I think something we're doing is wrong. And in 2013, the NIH said, gain-of-function research on coronavirus should be suspended. The National Institutes of Health had a moral and social and potentially legal reason to object to research. But the letters that were sent to the researchers essentially said, you are receiving notice that we're telling you to stop. And now on the bottom of the page, we're going to clarify what stop means. Keep going. But when the heat gets hot in 2014 and 15, what do? You offshore the research. You fund the Wuhan Institute of Virology to do the stuff that sounds like it's getting a little edgy with respect to its morality and legality. But do you do it straightway? No. You run the money through a series of cover organizations to make it look like you're funding a U.S. operation, which then subcontracts with the Wuhan Institute of Virology. The U.S. could say, China did it. China could say, the U.S. did it. And the cool thing is, both of them are almost telling the truth.
Crazy, right? Biological weapon used on you and me, and the government did it on purpose, or whoever's in charge. Now, check this out. Now, we weren't given all this information, right? All we were doing is being told to be scared. And I'm going to get to that in a second. But I want to share something with you, something else. Okay. Check this out. Where is it?
Bird, swine, Ebola,
now Corona. Like, come on, folks. I mean, you gotta really, you gotta read the tea leaves, bro. The devil's in the details. And with that said, is if you look at the recovery numbers on what we're talking about, I don't know what it is, but I guess the flu went on vacation on this year. Heart attacks went on vacation. This year. Everything went on vacation this year when it came to, I'm talking about, what we're going through right now.
Okay.
And let's just call a spade. And the reason I can have this conversation is because my family comes from communism. They fled communism. They had everything taken away from them. Everybody got murdered. Everybody got killed. And that's the reason me being a first generation Cuban American, or maybe us being first generation Cuban Americans, I look at freedom and I appreciate that shit. I appreciate opportunity. I appreciate anything that you give me. All I need is a little slip, partner, and I got you. And that comes from the fact that when a Castro took over everything, and I'm looking at what's going on right now, the only person here that's hot, 38 hot, is Castro. He's going, y'all did it with a virus? Shit. Y'all took over the world with a virus? Y'all gotta be kidding me. He had missiles pointed to the United States of America during the Russian missile crisis, wow, during the Bay of Pigs and what they went on through. So this shit gets deep. The only thing is do you wanna realize how deep it is? You know, that's the way I look at this shit. And even going into this, I don't know if y'all know about this, but might as well put it out there, especially in y'all show, because y'all got folks that need this more than anybody. We all need it. There's a rehearsal that went on before this whole shit. Is called Event 201. October 18th, 2019, this shit came out. It was ran by the Johns Hopkins University, which is in cahoots with Bill Gates, Melinda Gates Foundation. And this was a complete rehearsal of what we did right now. You can look at this up.
They had a patent, too, just to let them know. They named it.
And they had a
actual patent for coronavirus. From 2004, they up like a patent. They named it on it.
So therefore, you have a segment where it says, segment financial, what we going to do? Segment travel, what we going to do? Segment, what we going to do when it comes to online? And it said, if anybody is not a part of the narrative, we're going to take it off online, which to me smells like communism.
Right.
You feel me? And obviously, that's what our families lived through, and I'm sure all of our families have similar stories. After Buddy and them did that, which the main doctor that was there, his name was George Fugao. I might not remember the verse off fucking... The verse I was trying to spit, but I remember George Fugao. All right, George Fugao is the main doctor for the CDC in China and a virologist out of Wuhan. They real shit now, wow. Right?
I'm listening, we here.
Now here's where I go. After all of that happens to be about a month later, all the main CEOs in the world, partner, major companies, resign, about 1,000 and some change. So that means they pull out high, that means they take the ride high, and then they buy low. Well, everything went whoom. God knows what they did or they didn't do. But either way, I'm talking about Disney, Hulu, Microsoft.
I'm gonna pause it there. Now, this was supposed to help not only bring in a new regime under the guise of an election, and it, in the coming up video, you're gonna see what I mean by that, because Colonel Waldron speaks to this. And you can also find it on frankspeech.com already. It's already up there by Mike Lindell. They use it to usher in a new regime without using military forces. Now, I want you to remember, you might be too young, hopefully you're not, but Ronald Reagan thought he conquered communism once and for all. And there was a speech done in RNC where he was talking about it was getting like arms to arms, like he would worry at night if a nuclear strike was going to happen. And he talked about it in his last speech at the RNC and how scary of a time that was. And then all of a sudden, whatever happened, they were able to settle the Cold War and we didn't have a nuclear attack. They're getting smarter about this. They're using a biological weapon against you and I, and they're making it sound like they're protecting us. Check this out. Check this out. You can find this at the Gateway Pundit. I'm not going to read it because you can find it there. Pompeo's Fauci attacks Jim Jordan, says mask mandates, endless lockdowns, and vaccine passports have nothing to do with restricting civil liberties. That is a lie from the pit of hell, because the communism is all about restricting liberties. What does that whole vaccine passport do? It stops you from being able to go places. And they had this, check this out. They had this, which made this crazy. They had this like way before it even, was it this one? Or no, here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Busted, CDC created and was passing out coronavirus vaccine ID cards to states back in August 2020, months before the vaccine was created. Ooh, bingo. Right there in your face. You can read this on Gateway Pundit. It was all planned out, just like Pitbull said. This is not for our protection at all. We were never given a second opinion. When you go into having a medical procedure done, or you want to find out about a medical whatever, you typically get a second opinion. We only had one opinion, and that was the opinion of Dr. Fauci. And the opinion that was shoved down our throat was from the same mainstream media and from the government was about this coronavirus. Now, check this out. People aren't believing others that people are being brainwashed by propaganda. They got caught. Propaganda TV got caught saying propaganda TV by, I can't think of the name off the top of my head, but check this out. Where was it? Did I not bring it up? Shoot. Maybe I didn't bring it up. Maybe it's this one. Shoot. I didn't bring it up. Well, the CDC, so CNN was caught by the something project. And I have it somewhere in one of my records. I wish I had thought about it. I thought I had it pulled up for you, where they talked about how it was used for propaganda just to instill fear in a people. An organization that wants to instill fear into people is called a terrorist organization. Your government and the mainstream media has trying to scare you, which are a terrorist organization. And I wish I had that video pulled up or that article pulled up. I don't know why I don't have it. I apologize for that. But somewhere out there from Project Veritas, CNN, someone slipped up and said something like that. Now check this out, guys. This is interesting. They're hoping you forgot this.
And Washington decided that every man, woman, and child in the nation should get a shot to prevent a nationwide outbreak, a pandemic. Well, 46 million of us obediently took the shot. And now 4,000 Americans are claiming damages from Uncle Sam amounting to $3.5 billion because of what happened when they took that shot. By far the greatest number of the claims, two-thirds of them, are for neurological damage or even death, allegedly triggered by the flu shot. We pick up the story back in 1976 when the threat posed by the swine flu virus seemed very real indeed.
This virus was the cause of a pandemic in 1918 and 1919 that resulted in over 500,000 deaths in the United States, as well as 20 million deaths around the world.
See how easy it is to...
Thus, the U.S. government's publicity machine was cranked into action to urge all America to protect itself against the swine flu menace.
Influenza is serious. Does that sound familiar? Oh, all of our mainstream media is their PR machine to control you, to scare you. Oh, a terrorist organization?
During major flu epidemics, millions of people are sick and thousands die. Well, this year you can get protection. The vaccines are safe, easy to take, and they can protect you against flu. So roll up your sleeve. Protect yourself.
One of those who did roll up her sleeve was Judy Roberts. She was perfectly healthy, an active woman when in November of 1976, she took her shot. 2 weeks later, she says, she began to feel a numbness starting up her legs.
I joked about it at that time. I said, I'll be numb to the knees by Friday if this keeps up. By the following week, I was totally paralyzed.
So completely paralyzed, in fact, that they had to operate on her to enable her to breathe. And for 6 months, Judy Roberts was a quadriplegic. The diagnosis? A neurological disorder called Guillain-Barré syndrome, GBS for short. These neurological diseases are little understood. They affect people in different ways. As you can see in these home movies taken by a friend, Judy Roberts' paralysis confined her mostly to a wheelchair for over a year. But this disease can even kill. Indeed, there are 300 claims now pending from the families of GBS victims who died.
I'm going to pause it right there because there's more I want to share with you. So basically, look, they're trying to take your freedoms. They're trying to stop you from seeing people. They're trying to take your businesses away from you. They're trying to control you. And they can do that when you have to depend on the government fully. And Pitbull's family came from Cuba. Last video I had a man from Cuba, and he can tell you the story. He sees this. He sees where our country is going. Check this out. I have more to share with you. This is Dan Bongino.
For phony fraud politicians and bureaucrats like Fauci, who keep saying conflicting things, Democrats literally don't, well, I'm going to say literally, figuratively don't know anything, but literally don't know much about coronavirus. Play cut one from this monologue where he calls them out completely for entirely misjudging the risk of coronavirus because they've listened to the panic merchants the whole time. Check this out.
What are the chances that someone who gets COVID will need to be hospitalized? The answer is between 1 and 5%.
Oh, dang it. A commercial. Sorry about the commercial.
Another 20% is that someone who gets COVID will need to be hospitalized. The answer is between 1 and 5%. 41% of Democrats thought it was over 50%. Another 28% put the chances at 20 to 49. So almost 70% of Democrats are wildly off on this key question and also have a greatly exaggerated view of the danger of COVID-2 and the mortality rate among children. All of which explains why today the states with the highest share of schools that are still closed are all blue states. So if the right-wing media bubble has to own things like climate change denial, shouldn't liberal media have to answer for, how did your audience wind up believing such a bunch of crap about COVID?
There's a part two to this I want to play in a second. But, you know, it's incredible how we find ourselves in the conservative content creation space. Me, Hannity, Levin, God rest his soul, Rush Limbaugh and others, my friends Joe Pags and Glenn Beck and others. It's amazing how we find ourselves, really amazing. I mean, I'm not being ridiculous about it. We find ourselves under constant attack from lunatics in the left-wing media while getting the story right almost every time.
Let me fast forward it wrong. To you. Oh, wait, Bill Maher to speak again.
That played a very selectively, just sarcastically. Check this out.
A new report in The Atlantic says the media won't stop putting pictures of the beach on stories about COVID, even though it's looking increasingly like the beach is the best place to avoid it. Sunlight is the best disinfectant, and vitamin D is the key to a robust immune system. Texas lifted its COVID restrictions recently, and their infection rates went down, in part because of people getting outside to let the sun and wind do their thing. But to many liberals, that can't be right, because Texas and beach-loving Florida have Republican governors. But life is complicated. I've read that the governor of Florida reads. I know we like to think of Florida as only middle school teachers on bath salts having sex with their students in front of an alligator. But apparently the governor is also a voracious consumer of the scientific literature. And maybe that's why he protected his most vulnerable population, the elderly, way better than did the governor of New York.
He's okay. Right.
Listen to this. There are two studies that you can find on the Gateway Pundit. Study number one says, Stanford study results, face masks are ineffective to block transmission of COVID-19. It can actually cause health deterioration and permanent death. This is study one. They did a second study. Second study, this time from the CDC website, confirmed Stanford study on face masks being harmful caused serious side effects. We were only given one side of the story, folks. We were not allowed to hear another story. If it was on social media, it got blocked. It was called fake news. It wasn't on mainstream media. We could only hear Dr. Fauci say mask, 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 mask. And there's been studies that show masks don't work. And Dr. Fauci never once said masks, never showed the science of where, what, of that mask work. He would always say, follow the science, follow the science. He never once showed science. He is part of the problem because he is getting paid some damn good money. You can believe that. Now listen to this doctor.
Good afternoon. We are going to get started. Thank you for coming to another week of Capital Clarity. We're so happy you guys could make it. We have a guest speaker today, Dr. Ryan Cole. He is the CEO of, CEO and medical doc.
Medical director.
Yes, of Cole Diagnostics. He is going to talk about a whole host of topics, coronavirus, obviously, and vaccines and outpatient treatment. And we are really excited to have him here and get some information from him. So.
I appreciate the applause. You don't know what I've said yet, so hopefully there will still be some at the end. Dr. Ryan Cole, I run Cole Diagnostics. It's one of the largest independent laboratories in the state of Idaho. Started it 17 years ago. I'm a Mayo Clinic trained board certified pathologist, board certified in anatomic and clinical pathology. So yes, I have expertise in immunology and virology. I also have subspecialty expertise in skin pathology, so I do a lot of skin cancer diagnostics as well. I've seen about 350,000 patients in my career. We've done about 100,000 COVID tests in the past year, so it is right up my alley, and so I'm not just blowing smoke today. This is my area of expertise. So I want to be able to share with you today actual science. You know, we get a lot of politics from one side, the other side. I'm not here to offend one side or the other. I'm here to speak data, and the data speaks the truth, and so I have no agenda. I just want people to understand, one, what public health messages have we been missing? You know, what treatment should be available to everybody? I want to talk a little bit about the, quote, vaccines, and then I want to open it up to questions, because I could talk on this for probably 3 hours or 3 weeks. So, you know, this, I've only read maybe 6,000 articles in the last year, only seen, you know, like I said, 100,000 patients. So. Hopefully, buckle up and something useful. If one person walks away and I help save a life, then I've accomplished my purpose here today. So thank you for the opportunity. Thank you to my friend Craig in the back. I know he's got some handouts if some people are interested as well. So thanks for inviting me. And thanks to Lieutenant Governor's office as well. I'm honored to be here. All right. Dustin, my friend, let's advance here and we shall proceed. He's the man with the magical buttons. Yeah, go to the next slide there, if you could, please. Oh, it's right there. This is where we are right now. So does that look like a pandemic? It was. It's not anymore. We are in an endemic now. Statistically, the pandemic is over in Idaho. Statistically, yes. Once we're below a set percentage, we are not in a pandemic right now. Is the disease present? Sure it is. Is it widespread? No. You know, we're still doing maybe 500 to 600 patient tests a day. At most, we're seeing 2% per day right now.
Did you guys catch that? We are still being spoon-fed. We're in a pandemic. This virologist said we are in an endemic.
The numbers are going way down. Next slide, please. You're doing the next slide, and I'm not. You're one ahead of me there, Dustin. We are past a pandemic stage. We're at an endemic stage. In most states, we are. Their numbers are still high in a few states, but we're getting past that point. And here's why. Coronaviruses are seasonal. They follow a 6 to 9 month life cycle, and no matter what we do, they're going to do what they do, and then they're going to fade. What happened to SARS? What happened to MERS? What did we do to stop them? Nothing. They did their thing. Average COVID-19 death age, 78.6. Average age of death in North America every year, 78.6. That's fascinating. What are our highest risk factors? Obesity, low vitamin D levels, advanced age. 90% of deaths in the state have been over 70 years of age. That's the at-risk population. We have stopped our society for something that's taking people that are already at that death risk age anyway. The virus is fragile. These are just little tidbits. It's fragile. It doesn't live outside. UV light fractionates it, kills it, blows it apart. Ventilation in the wind blows it away. It is insanity to wear a mask outside. It is absolute insanity. And that's science. That's science. There is not one study that has shown any super spreader event to have occurred outside. They have all been indoors with poor ventilation. Next slide, please. All right, biggest lost message on this entire pandemic is vitamin D. There is no such thing, and if I can give one message to all of you for every winter and autumn for the rest of your lives, there is no such thing as flu and cold season. There is only low vitamin D season. Next, please.
Hey, I want to pause this because Bill Maher said vitamin D from the sun in his little skit.
Vitamin D. Every cell in your body, every nucleus has a receptor for vitamin D on it. 2,000 genes in your body are controlled by vitamin D. 5% of your body's genome controlled by vitamin D. It is the master key to your immune system, the master key. If one has a level in mid-range, you cannot develop a cytokine storm. Data shows what kills people? Cytokine storm. If you are in mid-level range, you will not die from COVID because you cannot get a cytokine storm. Next, please. All right, so we don't just have a viral pandemic. We have an international vitamin D deficiency pandemic, i.e. 70% of the world is immune suppressed. 70%. 70 to 80% of all Americans are immune suppressed because they are D deficient. 82 to 88% of nursing home patients are D deficient. Who's dying at the highest rate? Nursing home patients. 83% of African Americans, 70% of Latinos, 72% of Native Americans, 47% of Caucasians are insufficient, and 70% are deficient, and, well, 47% are deficient, 70% of Caucasians are insufficient. 80% of all hospitalized patients statistically are vitamin D deficient. 96% of people in the ICU are vitamin D deficient. If you are D deficient, you are immune suppressed, you are susceptible to the common cold, the flu, coronavirus of any sort, bacterial pneumonia, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The best mask of all is a healthy immune system, and a healthy immune system does not occur. Next slide, please. If you don't have D in normal range. Well, how do we get D? Sunshine. You know, we synthesize it through our skin. Above the 35th parallel in the world or below the 35th parallel for 4 to 5 months of the year, you cannot synthesize vitamin D through your skin. The older you get, the harder it becomes as well. Vitamin D is critical. Every Idahoan, if you do not supplement, you are vitamin D deficient. You are immune suppressed in the fall and the winter. Next slide, please. So here
he has a lot to share. But I'm gonna just post the links in the description. So click on that if you want to hear the rest of it. But I just think it's important for you to have all the facts because we weren't given all the facts. We were given one fact by one physician who was paid by the federal government, who we saw was making a lot of money and who patented this virus, and it became a biological warfare weapon against you and me to control us because fear controls people. What did Thomas Jefferson say? Someone who gives up liberty for safety deserves neither liberty nor safety. And that's what we did, ladies and gentlemen. And that is helping usher in a communist government.